Good morning, everybody. Another Sunday. You know, I was talking with Paul this morning. It was kind of funny. I was talking with Paul, and I said, Sundays is, I shared this before. It's terrifying for me. I get nervous. I know I'm coming up here. I'm like, man, I got to talk in front of people. It's not me. Not fond of it very much, of getting up and facing a bunch of people and saying something for the Lord. But praise God, I get the opportunity to do that. That's what I'm called to do. I was talking with him, on Thursday night. I got up here and I said something on Thursday night. On the fly, I didn't think about it. I don't know what's coming, and boom. Oh, that was easy. Everything was clear. But Sundays, it's like, I'm going to be coming up here, and I'm going, oh boy. Wow. But praise God. Praise God, because it's not about me. It's about the Lord, and it's about how awesome He is. You were singing that song, Awesome God. That is, I think, my favorite song. Brad knows it. Because He is, the description of just how awesome the Lord is right here. We got a God that created heaven and earth. When He spoke into the darkness, He created a light. He created us. And then He loved us enough after the curse to die for us. I know you guys can't do it, but I'll do it for you. All you got to do is believe on me. That's it. Seek His righteousness. Man, if it was up to us, we'd be doomed. Single one of us. But He did it for us. He took that second death for us. That's an awesome God. And the freedom that He wants us to walk in. And that's the thing that our carnal minds get so divided, get so confused. The freedom that He wants us to walk in is huge. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. Paul mentioned this one verse here, and it stuck with me. 1 Peter 5. And I'm going to start at the beginning and then go to the point that I want to go to. 1 Peter 5. I have a tab there from, I think, last time I was in Peter. I've been in Peter a lot lately. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to start in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's inheritance, but being ensamples to the flock. I'm not going to stop right there. That's not the direction I was going to, but praise God. It says being the ensamples to the flock. Not being lords of God's inheritance, but being ensamples to the flock. What did Paul do? What did the apostles do? They lived the gospel. They were just weren't a hearer of the word, but they were a doer also. And they were an example of how we ought to walk. And even though with all those trials and tribulations and the sufferings that they went through, they had freedom. They had a free will and they chose to serve the Lord. And there was nothing. What does it talk about in Romans? What shall separate us from the love of God? So all those tribulations they list down. So nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. And they knew that. And they believed God. And they hung on to that. And there was nothing that did. You know, but the biggest kicker that we usually have with us is that we walk away from the love of Christ. And see, we have free will. And we walk away from that. But let's remember how awesome the Lord is. I'm going to read on a little bit. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's where I want to get at. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And see, the vanity of our minds and that carnal mind, it's enemy of God. What does it say? Enmity with God is what it says. But that's enemy with God. It can't be subject to God's ways. That's why He freed us from being subject to that way. And that with our will we can choose, our soul can choose Christ in His ways. And the freedom that we have there is amazing. Casting all your care upon Him because He careth for you. I mean, how many times do I, let me put me in there, how much do I stress over things that I should not be stressing about? I'm caring and worrying and bothered by so much stuff in the world or what's going on or the circumstance or the situation. When it clearly says to put all your care upon Him. Don't worry about that stuff. Put it on me. What does He say? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Join yourself to me. Put it on me. I'm here to take this stuff off you. I'm a loving God. I love you. I don't want you bound up in this stuff. Just believe me. Try me. Serve me. I care for you. You know, we have that choice ever before us every day. And no matter what the situation is, no matter what the cares are that come up upon our mind that we just get so entangled with, He's not called us to walk there. He's called us to walk with peace with Him. And we just simply cast all that stuff on Him. And it frees us. It frees us to serve Him. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. But you know, I want to go to Matthew 6 for a little bit. I was reading that this morning. I don't know if I'm going to go through this whole thing. I'm trying to find a spot to... I think I'll start at 6:19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You know, we put way too much care, we put way too much concern on the things of this world. We do. If we're honest with ourselves, we do. What about this? What about that? I need to do this, I need to do that. And the Lord's just calling us to serve Him. That's where our focus needs to be at. And you know, before we can grab onto that freedom and that riches that He has for us, we need to lay it all down. The cares, the stresses, the worries. Lay it all down and be, Lord, what can I do to serve You today? You know, it's like hanging on to this a bunch of garbage that's driving you nuts. That's keeping you in unbelief, worry, and sin, all this stuff. When He has so far a better way for you. It's like a dog hanging on to an old bone. You got a steak here for him, but before he gets that steak, he has to lay down that old bone. A nice ribeye, or filet mignon, Paul would say.
Either one of
them. Right, either one has a bone in it, but praise God. Porterhouse. I think that has a bone in it, does it? I don't know. T-bone. But that's what He has. And see, when your eyes just focus on the Lord, what does it say? Your whole body shall be full of light. Because it's all about Him. It's all about serving Him. And the rest of the stuff, you don't take part of anymore. And it's all it's doing is dragging you down. All it's doing is killing you. And we, with our carnal mind and our carnal thinking, wants to just hang on to this stuff. It's not the case. That's not what He's called us. He's called us to freedom. I am free to live for You. Praise God. And none of these things, no peril, no sword, or nakedness, and I'm messing the scripture up, but praise God, shall separate us from the love of Christ. If that's all we're about. But the thing is getting our hearts lined up with that. You know how you do that? You know how you do that? It's simple. It's not so much easy. It's very simple. You choose to. Who gave you that choice? I was talking with my girls, and I was talking about serving the Lord. I was talking about Noah. He believed God. He built the ark. That's the evidence of him believing God. He built the ark. He believed what he said. Believe what the Lord said. And he built the ark, him and his whole family were saved from the flood. And I was telling the girls, I was saying, you know, you want to serve the Lord? You want to know the Lord? Yes. Do what I tell you to do. You want to do that without attitude? You want to do that with singleness of heart? How are you going to do that? I don't know. The only way you can do that is by Jesus Christ. What does the scripture say? Without me, you can do nothing. See, without Jesus Christ, and that's the kicker there. I was telling those girls, they need to have Jesus in their heart. They need to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. Because what does that do? That grafts their spirit back to their soul that they can choose. They can choose the Spirit of God in His ways. If they don't accept Jesus Christ, they can't do any of this. Because they are what? Bound to the flesh. They are bound to the flesh. No matter how you look at it, you got many different ways. You got many different theories. You got many different religions that people don't call religions, but they are. Many different religions out there that are trying to tell you how you can be good or righteous. Or you're okay. But none of those ways have Jesus in it. That is the only way. That is the only way that you're grasped back into that olive branch. That is the only way. You graft back in with your spirit, gets grafted back to your soul, that you can choose to serve Him. So we can be up to doing all kinds of stuff to make ourselves look good or to be righteous and all these things. But it's all about Jesus and what He's done. His righteousness. Not ours. Not ours. What did Noah do? By faith and obedience, he built that ark. He what? Believed God. What must we do the works of Christ? Believe on Him who He has sent. Which is Jesus. So I'm going to go on a little bit further down. And my page flips. Alright, where was I? Thank you. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? What Jesus is preaching here to the people is freedom. Look, if He took care of the grass of the field and clothed it, how much more is He going to take care of you if you're all about His business? Man, is He going to look at a child? And, you know, we look at our children and we're evil. We look at our children, do we give them something they can't handle? Do we give them bad things? No. We want to love our children and we're evil. But we understand how much we love our kids. Man, we're talking about the God of creation who laid down His life for our sins that we have a way to know Him. How much more is He going to take care of you? He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And that's what we need to be operating in. And so many of us, I mean, how many of us just stress over bills? You know? How many of us stress over situations that look impossible? How many of us stress over just stuff? What we're going to do that day? Look, seek the Lord. He's going to give you something to do that day. I mean, even in that, I wake up sometimes going, Lord, I don't know what to do. Shut up. Choose me. I love you. I got freedom for you here. Do you want it? Because it's here right available for you. Lord, I don't know what to preach this morning. Shut up. Have I been there with you so long? I showed up for you every other time. Why won't I show up for you now? O ye of little faith. That's how good the Lord is. So why do we yet choose the things of this world over Him? Because of unbelief. That's the truth of it. Because we still walk around like the children of Israel, that did not believe God. They didn't believe they could take the promised land. There was but two that came back and said, man, that land is awesome. The Lord's going to give us an awesome land. Man, it's got milk and flowing with honey. And man, you guys, you just don't know. You should have seen this land. The other 10 of the spies said, man, those guys are giants. They're going to kill us. Which one are we going to be? You know, the children, the first generation died in that desert because of that unbelief. They judged God for being unrighteous. They judged God for being unmerciful. They were always referring back to Egypt. Well, in Egypt we had, you know, all this other stuff, and we got manna. It rained food from heaven. You know, the Lord is taking care of His people. But they refuse to see it. You know, we can go to Proverbs, what He does. I mean, where He says He's going to laugh at our calamity. You know, I don't want that, folks. I want to enter that promised land. I want to enter that eternal life. Amen. Let's go on a little further. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows what you need. And if you think you need something, and you ask, you don't get it, you know what? You probably didn't need it. Because He's that awesome that He's not going to give you something if you don't need it or if it's for your destruction. But here is where we need to be at, folks. Right here. 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We really need to get in our minds, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and don't worry about the rest. Because that's all that matters. Is your house going to save you? No. Is the things of this world going to save you? No. Is your job going to save you? No. Is your wife or husband going to save you? No. Can Jesus save you? Amen. Amen. You know the freedom. You've seen the freedom of the apostles. You've seen Stephen was stoned. And he looked up and he seen Jesus coming down at the right hand of God, and man, he was going to go meet Jesus. It didn't matter to him one bit. He didn't worry about his life. He didn't care. All he cared about was serving Christ. And you know what? He got an early ticket home. He got an early ticket home. Where no more pain, no more suffering. But none of that. None but pure love. Them a pure love. Am I there? No. But do I want to get there? Heck yeah, man. I don't want to be bound by this earth, by the chains of Satan anymore, by this flesh. I don't want it anymore. I want the freedom of Christ and what He has for me to do. And man, if I can be that arm of His to help others come with me, then praise God. Even better. Because the Lord's awesome, and you know, I don't deserve it. I really don't deserve it. Man, if there's anybody here that I think should have been cut off, would have been me. I have turned so many times, it's not funny. Paul is shaking his head with agreement. He's right there with me, he says. anybody should be cut off, it'd be me. But he is that awesome. That's not what he wants for me. He is that good, and he's that merciful, and he's that loving. And all he's asking to you is, guys, is just choose me. Believe me. I love you. Try me. And I'm not talking about tempting God. I'm talking about put your faith in him. Put all of it in him. Try that. See how awesome he is. That's what I'm talking about. All this other garbage, man, don't worry about it. Be about his business. He'll take care of the rest of that stuff, man. Take care of the rest of that stuff. Don't worry about it. Because he's got a far better prize for you. And you know, for his body, we're going to be sharing that same love of Christ that he has for us towards others. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. All right, I'm done.
You know, I'm sitting there listening to Philip and thinking to myself, okay, preacher, that's all real interesting, but it's very childish for an adult who lives in this world to be thinking like that and operating like that. And so, you know, today is really a question of what you believe. Are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what you see and what you, the way you've been raised? Are you going to believe the Republicans and the Democrats? Listen, I don't trust either one of them. I've seen what they deliver, and their interest is self-interest. It isn't in taking care of us. It's guaranteeing a voting block. There's a difference between believing in Jesus and believing him. And this stuff, that's why in Matthew 18, he says, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? How does that work? Brad, when you tell your children something, how do they argue with you about it, or they?
Sometimes.
Right. They're in a process of learning, however, to trust you, Mark. When you tell them, when you show them they can turn the light on in their bedroom by going over that switch and turning it on, they repeat the action over and over again because they believe you and it worked. They saw you do it and it worked, right? This is the difference between a child believes what the parents tell them. I remember my father, one of his big deals with me was he'd start teasing me about something. And he said, I'd be sitting there getting really tortured and upset, and he'd go, ah, just pulling your leg. Ha ha. You know, that's not a really good thing to do, because that's removing the innocence of a child who believes the parent and teaching them not to trust anybody. For fun. Oh, well, thanks, Dad. That was helpful.
I'm thinking about the marijuana plants you thought they were going to. Or your marijuana plants and weeds.
So, you can receive what he says as a little child. Then, like your father, when your father said, eat your vegetables, they'll make you grow up big and strong. When your father said, you know, if you put on those long pants instead of those short pants, the mosquitoes won't make mincemeat out of your legs. You find out after a while that he's telling the truth. Don't touch that. It's hot. It'll burn you. All this stuff that seems so childish, childlike, unbelievable, tortured, abused, deceived, misled, lied to adults. It's only unbelievable because you haven't believed him. You don't receive him as a child. You know, everybody in the world out there you can find can agree with you that Jesus existed. Not hard to find somebody out there who can believe that. Do they know him? Are they going to heaven? Are they doing the will of the Father? Absolutely not. James says, the devils believe and tremble. Believing isn't enough to get it done. Believing him, that's the place that starts. And all this stuff in Matthew 6 that sounds way out there. Way out there. It's like, yeah, UFOs. We'll see the aliens come to rescue us before this stuff happens. At just not true. Peter says, when you're in Peter, Peter's testimony in 2 Peter is, we weren't conned by some, you know, fast-talking con artist. We walked with him and saw what he did. We weren't conned by some fable. This isn't something that some kind of lie that's being perpetrated over the last 30 or 40 years. This stuff happened and we saw it. And, you know, you get into the sweet spot of the Beatitudes, and Matthew 6 is definitely kind of in the middle of the sweet spot. Because there's some definite correctionness that's in the end of chapter 5 here. But, and there's some correction that chapter 6 starts out with. Take heed that you do not your arm before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before these, the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. Nothing more irritating than somebody who's making a big deal out of some big work they're doing. Especially if they're not doing it with their own money, they're doing it with somebody else's money. The idea that somebody can be a public servant or have given their lives to public service when they're not spending their own money, they're spending yours. How's that a big help? What is that that anybody that has can pick the pockets of one person to give it to another can do that all day long as they don't run out of other people's money? And they stand up there every 4 years or every 2 years and beat their breasts and talk about how good they are about the people's business. Oh, please. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Okay, what are alms? Well, in Micah in the Old Testament, where in Micah chapter 3, where it talks about, you know, wilt thou rob God? And you say, how is that so? And it says, in your tithes and your offerings. Everybody stops with tithes. But it's tithes and offerings. Tithes to the minister, offerings are for the operation of the ministry. Alms are the third leg of that, and they are the ticket to the reward. The reward you openly. Do it in secret. The only person that knows the alms coming is the person that gets it. The only person that knows they were given is the one who gets it. And the Father. But That's the key to being rewarded openly. When, who is it, Philip? Cornelius. The Lord said of Cornelius, thy alms have come up as a sweet smell to the Lord. Yeah. That meant he had the other two down. That meant his heart was right. And that's why he's a Gentile. How can this be? It's just you giving the Lord the ability to operate and minister in your life and show how good he is. This is where we've been. He cares for you. This stuff isn't here for your destruction. This stuff isn't here to give you a whole bunch of hoops to get through. This is to set you free. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. All this religious looking stuff that people do to be seen by other people doing it, that's not going to get you anywhere. You're absolutely, absolutely missing the point. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. That's all they're going to get. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's how it works. All these public displays of faith, you know, I'm not saying they don't have a place when you're doing it to glorify the Father. If you're doing it to glorify the Father and your heart's right, you're in a good place. But a lot of it is to be seen doing it. And you know, I'm not the one that's going to make the judgment ultimately on where they are when they do that. That's going to be the Father. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And this is what praying is supposed to be all about, right? It's to meet the needs of other people and to meet yours. Take your concerns to the Lord. Cast your cares on Him. For He, Peter says, cares for you. All the anxiety, all the worries, all the fear, all the drama, you don't have to have any of that. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. And you go through after this manner, pray. I'm not really going to go there. But when it starts where Philip was reading, back in 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What shall you eat or what shall you drink? Boy, I'm just butchering that and I'm actually looking at it. Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yeah, this sounds all so simple and so colorful and Elizabethan and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't believe this, you can't receive. This is Jesus talking here. If you can't believe this, you don't believe Him. It's not just warm, fuzzy stuff to read. It's what He said. So I think it's pretty much what He means. If, as we keep going, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You're not going to get any taller or any prettier or any handsomer by sitting there sweating the next detail. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall not He much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Why is their faith little? It's little because they don't trust Him. They don't believe Him. They don't have childlike
trust.
These children trust the parents that they're going to have a roof over their heads, that they're going to pay the power bill, that all the little details that are taken care of to protect them from the elements and the varmints out there. Children trust their parents to take care of that stuff. That's the childlike faith. And this stuff isn't just flowery Elizabethan stuff. It's good literary knowledge to have. It's Jesus making promises of His, how He cares for us.
Therefore take no thought, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You could just say there the dirt bags. He's talking here to Jews. And he's trying to get them to receive. For all these things do the dirt bags out there. Are the people outside the gate. The Gentiles. The publicans. The sinners. They all seek for these things. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many of these things? How many of these things shall be added unto you? All these things shall be added unto you. If your heart is about seeking Him and the righteousness that you need that is His, if that's all you're about, that's the key and the ticket to the provision of the Lord. And all these promises that you are challenged to trust in, just like the parent and the child relationship. You're the child in that relationship. And they're saying, look, I'm going to take care of you. Your kids believe that, right? Your kids believe that, right, Philip? Everybody's kids in here believe they're going to be taken care of. That's all this is a call to do. Be taken care of. If you don't get anything else from today, just remember that this is Jesus Christ we're talking about, who cares for you. He cares for you. We're just about done here. Brad, come on up. Steve and the church in Vermont's coming up next. And we're going to be cutting out of here in a couple of seconds. God bless everybody.